How are you all? I am very glad to be here. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've come to this parish. And it's really, I was telling Father Marek something in common. I was baptized in Stanislaus, but not this parish. There was another parish of St. Stanislaus in 14th Street and 7th Avenue in Brooklyn in Park Slope. It was a very small little church for the Polish community there, because the bigger church was Our Lady of Częstochowa. And that parish closed not too far along after I was baptized. But I said how strange that is that I am here tonight in St. Stanislaus Kostka after that being baptized in the same parish. As you know, I do not know Polish. I am very sorry about that. My Polish does not go farther than kibasa and pierogies. And for I love also for Our Lady of Częstochowa. The Lady has always a special heart in my, a special place in my heart. But I wanted to start off with a song, a simple song. I like to sing. I think that when we sing, it speaks from our hearts. And we don't have to have the greatest voices. But God has a good heart and says they sing good no matter what. So let me see if you have good voices, okay? I heard you had good voices, is that true? They lied to me? No. It's very simple. It's like a little spiritual, okay? It goes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's not hard, is it? You can say it with me. Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's simple, isn't it? Let's try it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know it already. You all know it? You do. So let's sing it with a little more enthusiasm, okay? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I'm not hearing you here in the front. I'm a little deaf, okay? I'm just a little deaf. So let's try a little harder. You gonna try a little harder? Okay, let's try again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let's try it. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You get 100. That's an A plus. Great effort. Beautiful. And I wanted to start with that song, not because of the beginning, but because of the end, what we said. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall we fear? Today I would like to focus on the legacy of our soon to be beatified John Paul II. I know he has a special place in your hearts and all our hearts of the church. A man who never left anyone indifferent in his passing. I had the pleasure of meeting him around 7 times in different meetings, mostly around World Youth Days, accompanied the Vincentian Marian Youth. And there was not a moment when I was in the presence of Karol Wojtyla that I was not in awe of this man of God. Many of you were probably present when he visited here. I saw a beautiful picture of many years ago. Was it 1969, that picture? Imagine that. Time has passed. But his presence and his was well felt, and people love him wherever he went. When we saw John Paul II, we saw a man who was truly a man of God. A man of God. Who loved the Lord, who loved his church, loved his vocation, and wanted to communicate that life and that love to all he encountered. He was not afraid. and said, I cannot all condense all his thoughts and all his sayings, all his words in one night. I pick three phrases that touch me and help me think a little more about my own being and my own vocation and my own being as a Christian, and I, how should I respond? And the first word I thought about John Paul II, that even if it wasn't his words, he reclaimed it and used it, and he talked to us much, a lot about, was the word, be not afraid. Be not afraid, and go and take with the power of the cross so that all can continue to see and believe in the Redeemer of humanity. Be not afraid. I live in Brooklyn, but I live on the worst part of Brooklyn. I live in Bed-Stuy. When I was growing up, I grew up in downtown Brooklyn, and we never went to Bed-Stuy. We were afraid to go there. And there's many moments in our lives that we are afraid. There's many things that happen in the world, especially these months, when we hear about all those turmoil, right? All those things happening in many countries that we didn't even know they existed, the words, you know? They were distant to us. We couldn't find them and map some of them. And we hear about all the kind of turmoil. A few weeks back we had, and we still are suffering, what's happening in Japan. And we hear about all that radiation, and it brings some fear into our hearts. Sometimes the situations right here in the neighborhood, sometimes it brings some fear in our hearts too. But we hear these words and they make a great echo in our hearts, and that being as Christian people, as God's people. When we hear these words that John Paul takes it upon himself to repeat to all of us, be not afraid. It means to us, it talks about our faith. It talks about our being as Christians, that we cannot be afraid to go out into this world, no matter what we may experience, and no matter what may be out there, and sometimes even knowing that a lot of people don't want to hear what we have to say or we have to offer, we have something great in us, in our church, that gives us life, that gives us courage, that makes it all worthwhile. We have that life of Jesus Christ abiding in our hearts, in our beings, in our community, and we hold it dear, and we hold it in the center of our being. And even though sometimes we fail, because we are not perfect, we want to bring that message. We want to be a witness to that Christ in this world. You know, many times we experience people, and maybe we may not say that we're Catholics. We may not say, you know, I go to St. Stanislaus, or I go to St. John the Baptist in my case, and we serve there. But people experience Christ in the words we may say and the deeds and the actions we may do. Many times I see people of faith, and I experience people of faith, good people, and they don't have to tell me they go to church. But I experience it by their hope. I experience it by their gestures of kindness, by their love for humanity, for other people, how they treat each other. I see that something great is abiding in their hearts. God bless you. This world that we live in needs people to give witness of that faith. And no matter what we hear on the news, because many times you hear the news and everything's kind of negative, right? No matter what we hear about news, no matter what we may experience in the world, we have to be people that know how to give that love. A love that is not just for myself or for my family or from the people that I may know or the people I may care about. A love that is not selfish. And love knows how to be for others, especially for those who need the most. When I always saw the person of John Paul II, besides in his presence, because he had a way of being, and you must know this more than I do because you experienced it here, he had a way of being that when you were in his presence, you were not far. You know, he was talking right at you. You felt that he was talking to you. And the words he expressed, even when thousands and thousands of youth were present, it felt like he was talking to you. And many times when he asked a question, for example, that he asked, as I remember, in Spain, in Galicia, in 1987, he asked us all, are you willing to go out into the world and give testimony of your faith? And all stood up and screamed and said yes. Sometimes we say yes at the moment. We don't know what that commitment means. And the word commitment is very strange to us. Does anybody know what the word commitment means? Anybody here? Can anybody help me? Nobody? It's too big a word? Obligation. Okay, that's something. You were going to say? Go ahead. A promise to stick to something, but not gum, right? It's not gum and crazy glue, right? That's good. Anybody else want to help us? Anybody else? Any one of the young ones on this side? The younger ones? A commitment, it is an obligation. We have an obligation, but it's not just an obligation. Because living with Christ and coming like to church today, what were you going to say? Can you repeat, please? Devoting yourself? To devote yourself. Thank you. That's nice, too. Anyone else want to add? There's three things that we have there, right? Obligation, something we have to stick to, right? We commit ourselves to stick to, and then that we devote ourselves. It's something deeper, right? When you say those things, it's something deeper that moves us. And we stick to it, not just to stick to it. We stick to it because it means something to us. Okay? Being a Christian, at first, for us, is a tradition. And it's a good tradition. Many are here because your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents brought you up in faith. We're baptized because there is a tradition. But as we grow older and we mature in our faith, it becomes much more than a commitment. I mean, it becomes more than just tradition. It becomes something that we give ourselves to because it brings life to us. And you kind of brought me into the second phrase of John Paul on the second that I want to talk about. It says, he said, if your faith only depends upon tradition of good sentiments or just a religious thoughts, we will not be capable of facing the clash with our environment. In other words, I'll make it easier because that's a lot of words there. If it's just tradition, then it becomes a little hollow. There's no really a foundation there. Traditions are good, but we have to make them alive for us today. It's good to hear about our ancestors. It's good to carry on those traditions, but they cannot just be something hollow, okay? It has something to be something felt for us. I could tell you, right, that something is good, but until you experience the goodness, then it has meaning for you, right? What do you like eating? Yeah, you. Pizza. Who doesn't like pizza, right? But if I would have told you, eat the pizza, if I was your mom, for example, and you never ate pizza, and I gave you, said, you have to eat the pizza, you would think it would be broccoli, right? So I'm not going to eat that, right? But when you experience eating that pizza, you said, this is great. Now you love pizza, right? In our faith, it has something great that somebody has enough courage to pass it on to someone. It's beautiful how parents and grandparents and communities come together and they want the other generation to receive and to grow in their faith. But at the same time, those who are receiving it, those who are learning, there has to come a time when it becomes part of them. They have to claim it as it's theirs. We have to claim it like ours. So it's not just the faith of my fathers, which is beautiful. It becomes my faith also. And I bring it to others to experience around me. And the third phrase that I was thinking about with John Paul, has to do a lot with the youth, but it has to do a lot with all of society. He said that the youth have changed the last 20 years. How much society, all the context of society has changed in itself. A lot of things have changed, but Christ has not changed. He has not changed because he is the Redeemer of humanity yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of things change. I'm sure a lot of here remember before the Second Vatican Council. For us, it may sound like Star Wars, something different, right? Something you never heard about, right? But do you remember when Mass was in Latin? Anybody? Now raise your hands there, right? Yes, that was a big yes. And that was a big change, going from Latin Masses to our vernacular Masses, you know, to be in Polish or Spanish or English. That was a big change. But that change was necessary so that we could be more lively. Because when we had, for example, when the priest had his back to the people and he was doing the Mass, many people didn't know Latin. Or they may have known Latin just to repeat it, but they didn't understand it, right? Now there's more a life because we speak, we have the Mass in our own languages. So it has brought more life to our communities. There has been a change to accommodate for the audience. And when you speak to adults, you speak a certain manner. When you speak to children, you speak another manner, right? Like if I speak to the adults about Rihanna, would they know about Rihanna? Maybe one or two, right? But if I speak to you about Perry Como, do you know who Perry Como is? You don't know who Perry Como is, right? So each of us have people that speak to us and it reminds us of a certain age and it speaks to us of certain things. But at the same time, there's one thing for us as Christians, as Catholics, that it speaks to all of us, and that is Christ. Christ is universal, passes all ages. All of us have heard of Christ. And what Christ did for all of us is forever. We don't have to change what it means to truly love. We have to change what love means in the world. But we have to look to the true love which brought Christ into the world. We have to hang on to that truth, hold on to that truth, live in that truth, in that love, and bring that to the world and bring it to all our surroundings and our families and ourselves and our community here in St. Stanislaus. That truth of Christ will never change. That Christ, the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will live on forever. And that is something that we don't need to change. We may change ourselves. We live in another environment. We're accustomed to different things. But this Christ, if we live it in our hearts, if we all learn to love truly, that would speak to anybody. And love of Christ can be spoken in any language. When you truly love, that could conquer everything. Today, I would like to finish off with John Paul II's last words. He says, "Let me go to the house of the Father." These days, we celebrate the season of Lent. I remember when I was young, and that wasn't too long ago. You may see me as an old timer, but it wasn't that long ago, okay? When I was young, when I heard the word Lent, I said, not that again. Lent to me was, it was oppressing, it was dark, it was, oh my God, I have to give up chocolate. It was so hard, you know? But as I grew, as I became older, it has become a beautiful season, a beautiful moment to give myself a little more space a little more time to be with my God, to love myself as God loves me, and to renew myself in the presence of that God who loves me, to give myself a second chance, because God always gives us a second chance if we really want it. Don't we need a second chance sometimes? Don't we? Are you all perfect? I'm not. Are you all perfect? They're not either. But you know who is? Our Lord. And He doesn't judge us. He loves us. And this time that we have for us is a moment for us to cherish, to give ourselves and tell ourselves the Lord is there for us always. And tonight, I just want to finish with that, that we may grab on to our Christ. No matter what age we may be living, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. And we're called, as we heard in that first reading today, that He will renew it all. We're all called to renew that alliance, that pact. We're all called to renew ourselves in the presence of the Lord, so that as we come in this desert time, as we walk towards Jerusalem, we will reach also one day our resurrection. We pray this evening that the Lord may bless this community and bless us all, and that we may look to the Lord as John Paul II did and try to follow Him faithfully today and forever. God bless you all.